We're at Psalms 2, starting with verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I believe with all my heart this is a prophetic word for this day and time. Like, of all the whole Bible is prophetic, of course. But there's something about this resonating to me. If you'll go now to the book of Acts, let's take it into a little closer time frame. The church has just been birthed. And this is a time of great rejoicing in the church. People are getting born again. Jesus had just raised from the dead. It was after the day of Pentecost. And then they go out and they started walking in the miraculous. Peter and John are walking like they had always walked. Probably walked by the same guy hundreds of times, the temple gate. He's been laying there his whole life. He'd been lame since his mother's womb, begging alms. Walked past them many times. But now they're walking by. And next thing you know, the guy looked at him and said, stretch forth your hand. You could grab him and said, such as I have, give I thee. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. You know, can y'all see yourself doing that? I can see myself doing this. Now, I don't think that's odd. I think the body of Christ is supposed to start seeing themselves do things like this. I mean, I kind of feel like God is talking about getting prepared. He's preparing us. For the miraculous, we got to start thinking like this. Amen. We got to start thinking right, believing right, so we can act right and walk in the things of the Spirit. Really, we're called to be led of the Spirit. It says that they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. Used to check myself all the time. Lord, I'm a son of God if I'm being led by your Spirit. So therefore, I better be led by your Spirit, not my old thinker. So the guy just leaps. Can you imagine? 40 years he'd lay there, I think it says. And he jumped, and I mean, you'd be flipping out too. He can walk now. Never walked his whole life from his mother's womb. And you would think, I'm telling you, you'd think the religious crowd would be excited too. They weren't. They weren't happy. And if you remember the Psalms we just read, that is prophetic for the kings of the earth who want the bands of God broken off of them. And they do not want to be held by the cords of God. They do not want God's government. They do not want God's leadership. They do not want God's instructions. Those cords represent the power and the move of revelation of God in the earth. They do not want to be bound by God's regulations, God's commandments, God's ways of thinking. They don't want God in their stuff at all. And then their heart, let's figure out how we can pass a law to get God out of the way. Let's see if we can pass a law that will keep God and his people out of it. We'll do our own thing. We'll do what we want. We won't involve the church in anything. Get rid of the church. Get rid of those evangelical fundamentalists. They're all nuts anyway. That's how they believe. I was watching Fox News one day and they said this Megan Fox is absolutely gorgeous girl. 23-year-old model actress, she said that she hoped that every Bible titan Southern Christian fell dead.
Oh my God.
That's what she said publicly. Do you know that's how they think about us, whether you realize it or not? If you're an evangelical Bible toting, especially tongue talking, they think you're nuts.
Yes.
They think you're crazy.
Right.
They just put you in a straitjacket. They just soon take you somewhere and put you in a little spot. Somewhere. 9 of chapter 3 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. So, you know, all these people saw him, and he was walking and leaping. I'm talking, he wasn't just walking. I'm talking, he's running and jumping and screaming and yelling and praise the right kind of guy. You know? Hallelujah. He's giving God glory. And they all saw him. What's going on, that racket over there going on? Well, this man just, and everybody's, what happened? What happened? And then it goes on. He says, Peter, then he said, he saw that the people came together and all the people ran together on verse 11 in the porch and called Solomon, greatly wondering. They were just like, wow, what is going on? We know this guy. We've been giving him money for years, helping him out. We know his family. And as they spake, Acts chapter 4, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, Peter and John, disciples of the Lord, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now the same spirit that was working in those leaders is the same spirit working in leadership today. If they're not serving God, it's becoming more and more clear, those who are serving God and those who are not serving God, those who are really on the left and who those are really on the right. It's getting more and more clear who really want God in their lives and in the way they think, in every way. But these guys were grieved. They were grieved. I have never in my life seen so much hostility during an election season in my life. You couldn't say, do you know anybody, if you lived in a big city and you put Romney's sticker on your car, they were keying Obama with keys, destroying, vandalizing. And there was riots being ready to be done. There was whole Black Panther groups and different groups were setting themselves up for riot to kill. They were absolutely, it was all over. I got on there and I saw all the tweets, hundreds of them.
Wow.
People were ready to go to fight and go to war for this. It wasn't normal. This was not a normal election. This was not your normal political season. This had something way more at stake going on. There was some way bigger thing going on in the spirit realm that we couldn't see. The church could see. I could see. If you're in tune with the Spirit of God, you could see. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. I used to look at this and I think, what do you mean they arrested them and put them in prison? They put them in jail? They held them outside of their... You're looking at a girl right here who will not take Obamacare. You're looking at somebody right here who will not pay the taxes for this. You're looking at someone right here who may end up in jail over that. You're in a church that may lose its tax exemption status down the road. You're looking at a church that may go through some persecution. You think somebody might be persecuted for what's right. But do you realize that if you buy Obamacare, your tax, your money that you are using to purchase this socialistic plan is going to fund Planned Parenthood's agenda of murder of innocent babies. They're running out of money and they've got to have money for that abortion mill. I don't know if you know that, but it's the truth. A portion of that money will be set aside in a pool and a pot of money to fund abortions. Designated just to be used for that. Now, if you didn't know, that is the truth. I don't think we should be stupid. Well, I have a choice to make. I have a conscience toward my God. I have a conscience. And that's where God is raising up a people who are not afraid of the establishment. These people weren't afraid of the establishment. Do you think they, after being put in hold and threatened, let me tell you what happened after this. Verse 4, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. 5,000 people came to Jesus over that miracle. See, when the miracles start breaking out, when these miracles in the church start breaking out, and they're happening, the miracles are happening right now. And we're going to see greater miracles in the body than we've ever seen before. Do you would think they would say, oh, wow, let's go to God. No, they wouldn't go to God. Those people are so bound by a spirit that there was no way. They put them in jail for raising that guy up out of that situation. I mean, you would think just common sense. Well, these are some special people. This guy would have been lame for his whole life, 40 years. But no, they were so grieved. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. That spirit working in them is grieved. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. Verse 7. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if you this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed was standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I mean, 5,000 people just witnessed this miracle. 5,000 people just witnessed. 5,000 people just accepted Jesus as their Savior. There was an uprising in the middle of this religious, powerful group of people. I mean, they were looking around. I mean, there's all these people born again now. There was an absolute outpouring of the Holy Spirit at that time. And the religious leaders who were so grieved about this, they let him go. They was like, I don't think we ought to tackle this right now. You know, they were the type, the same people that are the same spirit working today among rulers and leaders of the earth. Because they don't want to do anything because they want to do everything in secret. They want to do everything behind closed doors. They know how to do things. They know how to get their way without getting a whole bunch of people upset. Mm-hmm. Laws are being passed right now that are not constitutional. All kinds of laws, all kinds of secret agreements, all kinds of payoffs, all kinds of things are going on that we as Americans, we think we got the Constitution. Rick Joyner had a vision, had an open vision where he saw, him and a bunch of people, it was a dream, it was a dream vision dream. And he was in this house, and it was a beautiful house, and they were looking and touring the house, and all of a sudden he would see these little spots of flames popping up on the floors. And he said, God, he would run over and stamp it out, and it would go out, and then he'd come over here and stamp it out. And then all of a sudden he said he saw the whole foundation was, he said, what's going on? He looked down under the house, and into the flooring of the house, under the subfloor, and there was an inferno going on. And God spoke to him and said, the Constitution is being destroyed. The foundations of the country are being destroyed. On fire. And people don't see it. I cannot ever forget as a Christian that this country was a place that was supposed to be a place where we could practice religion free, freedom of religion. But do you know this will be the last place? I don't know, is there another planet we can go to? Where there is another place that had this kind of constitution. No, and that's been the biggest thing to one world government move is our constitution. That's been the one thing they have had to deal with first, is the constitution. Our right to bear arms is a big one. There was a writing of one of the generals during World War II. The Japanese general says, you can never, ever attack mainland America because there will be a gun behind every blade. They always knew that a people armed is the key to staying free. Take away our arms. But you know that whole thinking there that, you know, we got to... I don't know if anybody ever gets on YouTube and looks at these things, but every now and then I don't spend a lot of time on it. But there is a place where you can go and see all of the firearms of England were confiscated a few years ago. They were all picked up in truck dump loads. Literally, we're talking loads. And taken to a scrap yard. And you can actually see this big scrap metal arm picking up all these old guns. Some of them collectibles. Some of these old... Not one citizen of England can legally own a gun. Even the police are not allowed to carry guns. They have banned guns in England. Wow. Most people don't realize that. I was shocked. Get on YouTube and look at it. Their parliament passed the law. No guns in England. So that's what they've got to do first. They've got to dismantle our constitution. Check it out. Just check it out. Be forewarned is to be forearmed, I believe. 16. So they get together and they decide, what are we going to do? Well, it says, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further. Well, 5,000 people got the word. It's going to be hard to shut those up. How are you going to shut up 5,000 people? Verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them. And you know, when they helped put them in hold, you know, do you think they just kind of put them a little nice little padded jail cell overnight, gave them 3 meals? Probably put them in stocks when they put them in hold. I don't know how they did it, but I know it wasn't probably pleasant. Look what Peter says. But verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's really what it comes down to as a Christian. That's really, really what it really boils down to. Is if once you know, you're responsible for what you know. You judge. Is that what would you do if you were me? Would you just go your merry way if you know what you know? And you know, just can't do that. I have a conscience toward God. I fear God for one thing. So Paul, I love that verse. He says, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. 5,000 people, that is. For all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company. You know what? Being let go. What's the very first thing they did? They go to Wendy's, they go to McDonald's, they go get a coffee? No! They went to their own company. They didn't go home. They went to the church. They had their own church. Their own group that God had put them with. The 120. Let me give you a little side understanding here. There was over 500 people saw Jesus alive after his death, burial, and resurrection. Over 500 people saw Jesus alive. You would have thought, if you were one of those 500 people, you would have been in the upper room too, right? Would you, I mean, me, if it had been me, if I'd seen Jesus after all they did to him and knew that he was alive and I saw him, he was here 40 days and 40 nights and he was seen of about 500 people. You would have thought those 500 people would have latched onto him and said, man, I'm going with you. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm hanging on to you. Mm-hmm. You've been raised from the dead. I mean, it was indisputable. He's alive. But where were they in the upper room? There was only 120 in the upper room. That tells me there's going to be some weeding out before Jesus comes. There's going to be some weeding going on. Because ain't not everybody says, I believe, are really believers. Because, you know, it really is about who do you fear the most? You fear the Sanhedrin? You fear, because these people were scared in that upper room. The leaders had already taken their Lord and Savior and crucified him. They were afraid. There was some fear going on. But those 120 faithful believers stayed together. They reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when, you know, they said, hey, this is what they told us. If they said it to us, they would say it to you guys. If they would tell us not to preach or teach, they're going to tell you not to preach or teach. If they're grieved about what happened, they're going to be grieved about anything God does. There's a spirit in the land that hates God. And look what happened. Verse 24, and when they heard that, the company, the church, their church, folks. First assembly of Christians. See, the church has gone through a lot of stages over the centuries. The church was in an infancy stage here, just birthed. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. He knew the plan. And he knew what his purpose was in the earth. And he knew that except a corn of seed fall in the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Jesus was the seed that God planted in the earth to bring forth a great harvest of believers who would be followers. Verse 24, and when they heard that, oh, let me tell you something about being in the right place, in the right church, in the right body of people, and being on your company. You got a problem. You got a situation going on. You got a care. You got an impossible task ahead of you. You got a sickness. You got a disease. You need a healing. There is no better place to run to than the people that God has sent you to be with, who will be concerned about you like nobody else is concerned about you. Your own company is a very important place to find. What are you supposed to hook in with? Where's your company? If you're just a little lone scattered sheep out here, well, I'll go over here and eat a while. Or I'll go over here and eat a while. Or I'll go over here in church, try them out for a little while. Or maybe I'll just stay home and get all the word I need. Maybe I don't need to go to church. Wrong. Wrong. You are going to need a church one day. Every single believer on the face of planet Earth is going to need their own company. Everybody better find their place in the body of Christ and hook in there and build that church. Hook arms with somebody and pray for other people, because they lifted up their voice in one accord, the Bible says. They cared about each other in a way that nobody else will ever care about you. I couldn't run to my mommy and daddy for stuff. My daddy said one time to me, he said, don't bring us your problems. We got enough problems of our own. You girls keep bringing us your problems. Keep your problems to yourself. Well, thank God I had a church I could tell my problems to. I had a pastor. Amen. I had somebody I could call. I had somebody I could run to who would lift up their voice for me. Amen. We're together in this thing.
Yes. Praise God.
We're in this together.
Amen.
And it's a good thing to have a church family. You're my family.
Amen.
You need a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I did not plan to be a pastor, but God planned it. And I'll tell you what, I'll fight for my people, my sheep. I will go looking for you. I will go do whatever. I've got a pastor's heart. That's a call. That's a gift. And you've got brothers and sisters that are for you. I'm telling you, God's got a church that you're supposed to be in. There's a church in the earth somewhere just that's supposed to be your company. People that will care about you like nobody else. You look in and be a part of the fabric. Like this sweater. If one thread comes unraveled, the whole thing's looking raggedy. You're a part of a fabric woven together, a body. Now there's the big body of Christ, but I'm talking about a local church. According to all the prophecies I've been hearing, that the outpouring is coming to the local church. These big, big ministries, awesome. I'm glad there's big ministries. But there's something going to start happening in the local church. Lives are coming together, meshing together, loving each other in a way they've never loved each other. You know, if there was an absolute blackout right now, crisis right now, where would you want to run? You'd run around to your church, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Wouldn't you be running to your pastor?
No.
Wouldn't you be running to God? Wouldn't you kind of say, well, we all need to get together here and pray?
Yep.
Well, that's what they did here. It says here, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company. Verse 24, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said. And then they quote Psalms 2. They quote the word of God. They actually prayed the promise. They actually prayed the victory. They prayed the word of God, and they did it in one accord with their voices. With one accord, they quoted the word of God. And they prayed and called out to God the word of God. They just brought God into remembrance of what he had already said hundreds and hundreds of years before. He said, so this company tells me these were word-minded folks. These were word of faith people. They knew how to pray. They knew how to believe God. And they were one accord in that. It's hard to get a group of people together and pray in unity the word. And believe the word in unity. It's hard to find a group of people that know how to pray right. And believe right. Word of faith, ministry, message. And I know how to lift up my voice and agree with somebody else who will lift up their voice and can pray right and believe right with me. I can hook into somebody like that. Now you start praying religion, I can't hook in with that. I can't agree with that. Oh God, give them grace to die gracefully.
Yeah.
I cannot hook in with that.
No.
Give them strength to bear their burden. I can't hook in with that.
No.
Oh, God, strengthen them in this time of suffering. I'm sorry. I cannot go there with you.
Amen.
But you tell me you give me the word that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. I can hook in with somebody and believe that. See, I know how to pray right. I know how to believe right. Well, you get a bunch of people like that, and you've got some power going on in the earth.
Yes.
That's a prayer God is going to hear in one accord, in unity. That's where the power is going to hit. That's when planet Earth is going to see the greatest revival of the church we've ever seen, because you get a bunch of people together, assembly, a company of people who believe right, pray right, live right, and love God and love each other.
Amen.
You're talking a formula for power. Outpouring. I'm going to blow the lid off of things. God is getting the people assembled to do that in the earth. Just like the prophecy said, the church is going to do greater works than even the book of Acts. We're going to see a glorious church rise up. Glorious. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. So let's read what he says here, verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, they gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. And let me tell you something right here and now. When they were praying this prayer by stretching forth your hand, do you think they saw God up there? They saw God up there coming down and stretching down his hand? No. Whose hand reached out and grabbed the lame man? Whose hand reached out and said, take my hand? It was the church who's got to start reaching out and doing the work of God in the earth that we're called to do, and stop asking God to come down and do it. God says, you're my body, you're my hands, you're my feet, and you're in the earth, and we're supposed to start moving and breathing the word of God and speak the word of God with boldness and stretch forth thy hand through your children.
Yes. Praise
God. That's where the hand of God is going to be manifested, through the church. Isn't that awesome to know? I know I stopped praying that way years ago. God come down. No, God wants to use me to lay hands on the sick. God wants to use me to pray the prayer of faith for somebody. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. He's the power of God in the earth through us. And you get an assembly of people that are filled with the Holy Ghost in unity and one accord, you're going to have some shaking going on, and miracles are going to break out. Power of God is going to show up, and you're going to see your life turned upside down and transformed. Mm-hmm. You're a foe to be reckoned with.
Yes.
I'm just speaking word.
Yes.
Thank God. Revelation truth is powerful. If you believe it, just get a bunch of people together, believe in the word, and you've got some power going on. Oh, Lord, behold their threatenings. Verse 29. And grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Persecution is coming to the church. Persecution is coming to the church. Happening. It's going to happen. It is right now happening all over the place. You can't even watch television with Christians not being made fun of and put down and made light of and made to look stupid. There's a whole brainwashing of the demonic realm is working day and night to make believers look like outcasts. Scourge, just get rid of them people. They're a problem. And then when they were praying, go back, I wanted to point something out on that Psalms 2 verse. Verse 25. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That is as common and as prevalent today, and more so than has ever been. They're imagining a vain thing. Every time I turn around, there's some crazy new imagination of a vain thing. You know what I believe is happening? You know what I believe happens is happening? I believe, and I've always said this, that it's man's attempt to bypass God and create their own Garden of Eden. Man has always wanted to go back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to the Garden of Eden without dealing with the sin. They don't want to have to deal with the sin situation. But they want to go back to being a utopia. We'll create our own Garden of Eden. Where there's nobody tell us what's wrong. There is no bad. You can get rid of all the rights and the wrongs, and everything's okay. And there's no sin consciousness. And then there is no absolutes. But everybody's just here to do with their own thing. And there's no right and there's no wrong. And everybody just love each other. Good thing. They just can't deal with us, believers. So that's the imagination of that vain thing. That ain't going to happen, guys. It isn't going to happen, because there is a real God, and there is a real heaven, and there is a real hell, and there is something called sin. You cannot annihilate sin without the blood of Jesus. That's the only cure for sin. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Sin is the human race's problem, and Christ is the answer to sin. They want to imagine a vain thing. They want to bypass the way God said to get healed and delivered. They want to do it their way. So if you can, you know, really and truly, the church is a sore in their sight.
Okay.
We are absolutely a thorn in their flesh against what they are promoting and their agenda to create this utopic world. We are in their face, and we are in their face saying, you need a God and you need a Savior. No, we want to break their bands off of us. We don't want their cords involved in anything we do. Yeah, they're trying to institute Sharia law. Do you know the laws of this country are based on Judean laws? The Ten Commandments are the foundational commandments of all our laws in America. Now they're trying to institute Sharia law. There's just a lot going on. And I sometimes I think, God, you're showing me these things, I know, for a reason. Look at verse 26. And the kings of the earth stood up. See, if you've never seen a time in history where the kings are standing up against the kingdom of God, against the king, the kings are standing up against the king. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And they're standing up and shaking their fists in the face of God. You don't even want to talk about what's going on in Syria right now. It's unbelievable. Or in the Sudan. Or in any Muslim country. You just wouldn't believe. Egypt is crucifying Christians right now. We don't realize how close it is. Because you know why? If you're trusting the mainstream media to give you your information, you are trusting you're trusting the wrong source.
Amen.
You're going to have to let the Holy Spirit begin to reveal things to you. Amen. What's going on in the earth. He just brings me stuff and shows me things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants us to know.
Mm-hmm.
There is an enemy that wants to just crush the church. Crush the church.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what else he says here. Behold their threatenings.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think that we cannot ever forget we got an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 29. You see, until God's people, and I'm going to close with this, but until the church gets serious about the word of God, and this is the covenant he said, I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And this is us, the covenant we're in, the new covenant, the new birth. He said, I'll place my word in their minds, and I'll write it in their hearts, and they will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So we're the people of God. That sets us apart. We got the word of God. And these people prayed that we can speak your word with boldness and by stretching forth thine arm, stretching forth thy hand. You see, when you've got the word in your heart and you've got the word in your mouth, it's like God is stretching forth his hand through you.
Amen.
Because it's only the level of the word that you can stretch forth. See, they were stretching forth the word of God right here. They were stretching it here and stretching here. I always said, this right here. You got an antenna to heaven and you got an antenna to your fellow man. You can't treat your fellow man right if you ain't got it going on good with God.
Amen.
But if you've got things right with God and you've got the power of God moving here, you're going to be able to have the power of God moving here. Father, I seal this word today. I thank you for this word, this revelation word that went forth today. I seal this word. Empower your people, Father. Empower us, God. Stretch forth your hand. Give this people, give this church, grant us the word, a revelation word, so we can stretch forth our hand when it's needed. We won't be taken by surprise when things happen. We'll be here for each other. Bring us in unity. Let us each find our place in the body. And I thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this church.
Thank you,
Father. Thank you, Lord, for touching every heart and every life and every mind here today. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. I thank you, Father God. This is a refuge, a place of refuge. In Jesus' name, amen.